Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the program. This is your host with the most, Hopsy, baby boy. Episode number 40. Folks, what do you think of when you think of number 40? I immediately think of Henrik Zetterberg, Stanley Cup champion with the Detroit Red Wings. Or when I see 40, I think about a little bit of baseball. Bartolo Colon, the legend, the big body on the mound who could throw the ball. He grew up somewhere down south there. He was throwing mangoes and shit at trees. That's how he got his arm strength. Anyways, folks, welcome back to the show. Certainly happy to have you. I'm currently up north, just west of Timmins, Ontario. I believe I recorded episode number 2 of the program here last summer. And I'm back again, up here for a little bit of work. I'm up here doing some roofs with my boss, Roby, friend of the program. We made our way up here a week ago today. And I wasn't able to get an episode out this weekend because we do not have Wi-Fi out at this location where we are. So I'm recording this right now in the garage. I am sitting down here with my microphone and my laptop. I got no Wi-Fi. I'm going to have to run a hotspot to, post this. So I got to get about a 30-second hotspot and I'll get this up and in the air. There will be no editing to this podcast. I'm pressing play and when I record and when I turn it off, that's going to be the episode. I don't even think I'm going to listen to it. I'm just going to go, all right? Because I don't have time for that. It's 11:26 right now on a Tuesday night. I got to be up at 6 a.m. to work tomorrow, okay? Shit's got to be happening, okay? So there's no excuses, but this show, it will happen, and it will be great. Folks, Timmins, Ontario, made it up here a week ago. Bit of a tumultuous situation. Me and Roby, we departed at about 10 o'clock in the morning there. No issues. Loaded up the truck pretty good. He was bringing he's from here originally, so he had a bunch of shit in the back of his car. We were bringing it up here, full load, had the pickup truck up there. He's got a Dodge Ram 1500. We had the trailer on the back, all the tools in the back. We brought way too much stuff. We were making our way. We had no problems. I forget, we switched driving about halfway through, probably about the Huntsville region, something about that when we changed gas. And then I started driving. And this was actually my first experience of driving a trailer on the highway ever for a long, extended period of time where I'm actually traveling to a destination. I'm not just driving up the street. So I'm going, feeling good. I'm feeling confident. But, you know, it's a long drive, and it's going to take us several tanks of gas to get up there. So we're taking Highway 11. We're going north. We're going to drive right through North Bay, my old stomping grounds, my old university stomping grounds. And we're getting a little low on gas there. We just passed South River, so for those of you who don't know, it doesn't matter, but we were getting close. We were within the hour there of North Bay, and we were coming up on a little place called Trout Creek, and unfortunately, the gas light had gone on about 8 minutes earlier, and when I say 8 minutes earlier, is because I literally think that was the exact timing. It was 8 minutes, and then what happens when the gas light goes off? We completely ran out of gas on the side of the highway. We had nothing. And thankfully, I had my road bike in the back. I was about to get the fucking helmet on and get the pistons buzzing up the street to find a jerry can and get some gas. But there's not even a gas station in Trout Creek, the little town that was 12 kilometers away from us. So, yeah, we were in a pickle. We were in a big pickle. And if anyone's ever driven Highway 11 just past South River, I don't know if you know, there's that area where you got those like big 100-foot cliffs. Like the road was like clearly cut down into the rock a little bit, make it a little bit more of a less hilly pasture. But that was the region where we went down. Yeah, the truck went down. And for those, I mean, I've run out of gas several times in my life, twice in my own truck. Both of those were in North Bay as well when I went to school. And I just find if you have never ran out of gas before, it's because you're probably not living. So give it a try. It's pretty exhilarating. But thankfully, when we did run out of gas, I was within, like I said, I think it was like 42 kilometers to North Bay. And thankfully, again, North Bay was a place that I'd spent the last 5 years prior to this one. So I had some people I knew in town, and I was able to give a call to a good friend of the program, Andy McDonald. Shout out to Andy for saving the fucking boys. We had to call him. He had to get a jerry can, and he drove all the way out to us. And I'm not going to lie, people, you don't find very many people who would do that for you in a bind. So God bless you, Andy. God bless you, son. God bless you. It was good, though. It was kind of funny. I mean, I think luckily it happened to me and Roby. I'm glad I wasn't with someone else who would have lost their mind. Me and Roby were pretty chill about it. I think Roby went and took a shit in the ditch while we waited for Andy. Everything was cool. We had no worries. So, I mean, yeah, we had a little bit of a blip to the start of the trip, but we got up there with no hassles, okay? So we've been up here for about a week now. We've been crushing out roofs. We've just been, you know, fishing a ton when we can, when we're not working. And, I mean, it's great up here. I've never been up this far north before. I came up last summer, recorded an episode. I think I said that earlier. Yeah, I did. But it's my second time up here, and it's a great spot. I mean, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, if you're into anything outdoors, you like to go fishing, you like to get out in the lakes, you like to get outdoors and do your thing. I mean, there's nothing more than you could ask for than the great, great north of Ontario. And I mean, it's funny because when I first moved to North Bay, like, I used to consider that Northern Ontario. And I think they do consider North Bay and Northern Ontario, but like it's 4 hours north of Toronto. It's really not that far north. And Timmins is another four on top of that, north and North Bay. And I mean, it is considered Northern Ontario for sure. Like it is quite the ways up there. But what I always found so interesting about Timmins and basically Ontario as a whole, as a province, is just how massive it is. Like Timmins is considered far north, and I mean, maybe to me it is, me not being a guy from up here, but if you look at the map of Ontario, I mean, it might be halfway up the province. Like there's a fuck ton of shit up there, and I'd love to go and explore it. I've never been north of here. I used to do multiple road trips, you know, coming back from school to Nipissing and when I played hockey out in New Brunswick. I've done the trip across many times, and when I've done that trip, I have dipped down into the States. But I have just stayed in Canada too. But what I have never done is taken the route, which is Highway 11. And when you take that, you I forget the exact place. There's a name for it, but it's something small. And I believe it's like past Thunder Bay, or it's around the area there. And you take Highway 11, it's nothing but bush for hours. There's you don't see much but trees and gas stations. And if you go the other way down south, I mean, you get to ride along Lake Superior, you see the shore. If you're lucky to do it when the sun's up, I mean, it's beautiful, it's breathtaking. So I've never gone up that way to Highway 11 as far as I have come up to here. So I mean, it's good to just be up here. I mean, what an experience. I really enjoy it. I mean, what an eye-opener though, this area of Ontario is. Like you think you've seen woods, and then you come up here and you realize you ain't seen fucking shit. The woods here are so thick that, like, if you took 20 steps into the woods, you'd be lost. You turn around, do a 360, close your eyes. If you were blindfolded and you walked 20 meters into the woods, you'd have no clue where you are. It's so thick, so crazy. And what always blows my mind is like, the wildlife that's out here. And truly, I mean, how much of it you really do see. Like, I've been up here for a week, seen multiple bears, multiple foxes, haven't seen a moose yet, but I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's not really that shocking because you really are out there. You're pretty remote. The city of Timmins, I believe, is just over 35,000 people, and that's right in town there. And you know, the Porcupine region, the health region itself, which is a massive area, goes all the way up to the James Bay, up to the Hudson Bay and beyond a little bit. There's only like 83,000 people in that whole area, and like that's a hell of a territory. And it's actually funny that we're up here because, well, in terms of Ontario, I believe the rest of the country too, we're all pretty much in that opening stage one phase of the reopening plan post-pandemic, but not up here. Not up in here. No, Porcupine Health Region is getting fucked. Like I said, 83,000 people. There's don't quote me. There's like 500 cases or something in the area. I don't know if I'm making that up, or it's around there. So there's nothing's open. I'm seeing all these snaps, all these people on the patio having a beer, doing that thing. Not up here. Nope, not up north. You know, you're gonna go up north, you're gonna go to work, make a living. That's what you're gonna fucking do. So yeah, none of that. Couldn't go for beers after work or anything, which is disappointing, but it is what it is. You know, we're not up here to do that. We're up here to work. We're up here to make some money, okay, and do a couple podcasts, okay. I'm sorry I didn't get the opportunity to put one out in the weekend. Had to pull some strings, and I'm literally, like I said, I'm recording this. I'm going to put it out there. I have to do it with a hotspot because there's no internet. But it's nice. You know, I'm getting off my phone. I'm spending some time outdoors. I'm showering less, trying to hop in the lake with a bar of soap, do that kind of thing. You know, make the body feel good. One thing I briefly mentioned, moose. I mean, ever since I've been up here, this thought has been, you know, really on my mind, and I had to ask, I had to get some answers for it, is when you look at a moose with the big antler on them, you know, the big full head, how the fuck do they walk through the woods? How do they go through the woods that they live in, which is so dense, so thick, a human being can't even get through there. So, I mean, I'm with one of my buddy Roby's there. I'm with one of his uncles who's a big moose hunter. And I just had to start picking his brain. I had to start asking moose questions. Because moose hunting's huge up here. And, I mean, I lived in Miramichi for a bit there in New Brunswick. And moose hunting definitely was big there. Like, the thing that you do in Miramichi is when it's moose season, it just seems like you kill a moose, you pull into the Tim Hortons, and you hang out with the boys for the afternoon and show it off. That's what goes on up there. Haven't seen moose season up here, but a couple of racks on the walls as I'm doing this episode. I'm looking at one right now. Beautiful, beautiful thing. But moose, man, apparently, to get through that thick brush, they just got to angle their heads up a little bit. They kind of, you know, they kind of tilt the head back, and, you know, their fucking antlers, I guess, just give it, they just push the branches away, and they let themselves go through. Also, those things are like combines. I think they just probably mow down the woods. But moose are pretty wild, man. Moose are a crazy thing. Moose apparently lose about 25% of their body weight during the winter. And if they're not doing that, they're getting chased around by wolves. They're getting decimated by bugs. The summer up here is crazy hot. Apparently, they prefer to be in like 11 degrees Celsius and below. A lot of that time in the summer, they're in the humidity. It's 30 above. Like, they have a tough life. They're getting chased by wolves. If they're not getting chased by wolves, they're getting chased by little Frenchmen wearing orange vests, trying to shoot them in the back of the head. Very tough animal. Very tough animal. When you see one in person, which I've definitely seen several, it's amazing. It takes your breath away almost at the size of these things. And I mean, I find the Canadian wild, it doesn't get the respect it deserves. And when I came up here, I was just, you know, there's a fascination that I find with the bush up here. It's so crazy, so thick, so dense. Who knows what could be out there? And do you all remember Survivor Man, that show? The original one, not the one with Bear Grylls, because I liked that show a lot too, but apparently that one is an absolute crock of shit. Apparently he got caught once sleeping in a hotel or something, like in the middle of his surviving. So, I mean, that show kind of comes with a bit of an asterisk. But Survivor Man, the original one, the Canadian version, I'm pretty sure it was the original one with that Lee Stroud guy, the nail gun who just goes all over the world. And, I mean, he's done some pretty cool places, but when we came up here, we started talking about it, and he did one in Temagami. And Temagami is about 2 hours south of Timmins. It's kind of like the halfway point between, I mean, I don't know if it's exactly, but it's between North Bay and Timmins in that region. And I mean, it offers a lot of the same kind of wood style that are around here. They might even be thicker up here, which is even more crazy. But I had to throw it on because I was very enthused to know that he was doing, you know, he was doing the Survivor Man, you know, just a couple hours from where I was. Thought it was really cool that he was in Canada, and he has multiple of them in Canada. So check it out because it's pretty cool to see what's going on and how they do it in Canada. If you're not from Canada, I just, you know, check it out because there's a lot of cool climate around here and a lot of cool landscapes that this guy's conquering. And this one was, you know, no slouch in itself. Like, apparently only two times in his show's history has he ever not been able to fully complete the 7 days of surviving. I think it's 7 days, six nights. It could be seven nights, whatever it is. He usually does a week. And two times, I believe it is, that he has not been able to complete 7 days. And this was one of them, Temagami, just in Canada, just like 6-7 hours north of Toronto. Crazy. And so I watched it, and I'm going to post it on the, I'll post on the Facebook page. I might even share it on Instagram. You should watch it too, because it honestly, it made me proud to be a Canadian guy, because that's just crazy to me. This guy's been to the Arctic. He's been to the desert. He's been all over the jungle. He's been to the Amazon. He's done all these crazy things, like, in my eyes, that you think would be, I mean, not saying that surviving in Temagami wouldn't be hard, but I mean, off the top of your head, I don't think that's your first option when you're thinking of harsh landscapes in terms of surviving. But anyways, you check out the show. The bugs up here are brutal. He got absolutely lit up by them, and he ended up lasting something like 4 days. He found a logging road, and then he ended up making his way back to civilization. But check it out, because I thought it was very interesting, and I mean it gives you a pretty good look into the kind of the bush I'm sitting up in right now. So I'll share that. Give it a look, and honestly, check out the rest of his show. Ever since a couple nights ago when I saw that, I started watching him again. Like, I haven't heard of him in years, or even thought of him in years. And he's still creating shows. Like, he had one come out a couple weeks ago down in Romania or something like that. It was another good episode. Getting a little sidetracked, but pretty cool. So definitely check that out, because, I mean, the Canadian Wild, some of the fiercest and most intense climates for survival on the earth. And I think that's pretty impressive. Folks, lots going on right now. I mean, it's June 15th, playoff hockey in full swing. Conference finals going on. Are they even called the conference finals right now? We don't know. The semifinals of the NHL are enduring right now. I just watched game two of the Lightning and Islanders game. That's kind of why I'm getting out into this garage so late. And I'm not, this isn't a hockey podcast. We don't talk sports. I don't talk analysis and scores. But did anyone see Braden Point get cross-checked by Pelech into the goalie and then he got a penalty? It was hilarious. I mean, the NHL, man, they got to figure the reffing out. It's playoffs. Let the boys rumble. Let them play for sure. But they got to figure it out. Like, I'm watching some of these calls, and it's bad. It's bad. They really want to call the game tight right now, I've noticed. And, I mean, traditionally, as we all know in hockey, they love to let her fly. They love to let it go. They loosen up the rules a bit, and they let them play. And for some reason, that really bothers people a lot. It really bothers the casual fan of hockey. It really drives them nuts. They're always like, "Well, do you imagine in football if they started letting pass interference?" Shut up. It's hockey, okay? We do things a little differently around here. Right? You don't like it? Fuck off and watch something else, okay? All right. Honestly, though, I found myself almost fucking off and watching something else a lot, because they need to figure something out with Sportsnet immediately. And I mean now. It's June 15th. I'm assuming that everyone on the TV has had the opportunity to get vaccinated or get their second shot or do something. And to this date, we still have, what is it? We have two people in studio at Sportsnet when they do the intermissions. And then we have like three other people calling in from their beach houses across the country. We're sitting in on a Zoom call. So the intermission break now with our analysts, and they're probably making good money to do this. Sportsnet's paying tons of money to put this together. And it's about the quality of this podcast. This podcast could be better. It could be better produced. It's a joke. And talk about the flow of conversation. And you know what it's like. They tell them, you know, it's sports TV these days. They got to go back and forth. They got to have the disagreements. And they're trying to do that on a fucking Zoom call. I feel like I'm sitting in a third grade classroom when the teacher's trying to speak and half the kids are sleeping. It's bad. I don't know. Cable TV is so tough. Right? Sportsnet's tough right now. They don't know what they're doing. Sportsnet's trying to launch this that streaming service. They're like making jokes about pirating sports. So that's their like ad campaign. Now they got Kez's house. Has anyone seen that? Kez's house. Sportsnet's trying to make a TikTok house with Ryan Kesler. And I mean, I had nothing bad to say about Ryan Kesler. I think I have a really bad distaste in my mouth for him because he played for the Vancouver Canucks in like that 2010 to 2012 range where like when they went to that cup final against Boston. I don't think there's a team I've ever hated more. Like, I hate when people are like, "Oh, it was Canada's team. You had to." No, I didn't. The Vancouver Canucks make me sick. And literally, like, I don't really care for them this day, but I still have that distaste in my mouth from that 2011 team. That was the least favorite hockey team I've ever watched play. And I was so, so happy. They went up 2-0 in that series. I'll never forget it. I was in 11th grade at the time. Everyone was so cocky. The Vancouver Canucks are going to win the cup or fucking nails. And then they blew it. They blew it. And they lost that series. They were up 2-0. I never forgot. You might have forgotten. I'm going to remind you right now. But Ryan Kesler, man, what a nerd. And do you think, this is what I want to do. Ryan Kesler, the guy had a good career. He had a good career, and I get it. Everyone's trying to get into the broadcasting game, and that's what you do now. Everyone becomes, you know, social media, we all become everyone's trying to become an influencer, you know what I mean? To a degree. If I'm Ryan, in terms of Ryan Kesler, your time's gone. Fuck off. I don't need Kez's house. We got Post Malone in there. Do you really think Post Malone is going to go hang out with Ryan Kesler? Or is it because there's a little bit of money involved? Is there a little bit of money involved? Post Malone doesn't give a shit about Ryan Kesler. Okay? This guy's got a bunch of pinball machines in his basement. You want to know why he has all that? Because he's a loser. He has to have a cool basement so we can get friends to come over. This guy is a clown. And actually, I used to hate Kevin Bieksa too, but he's kind of grown on me ever since this. He's actually pretty good on Sportsnet right now. I actually do kind of enjoy him. But Ryan Kesler, man, Kez's house. I'm serious. If you have Sportsnet, file a complaint. File an actual complaint. Because I cannot believe what they are doing with this channel. I've said it before, I've said it again. The demise of cable TV is coming, and I think they want it to happen. It's like, how can we make this, can we make this shittier? How can we make this worse? It's honestly absurd. It drives me, Kez's house. I haven't watched an episode. I will not watch an episode. Because that just blows my mind. They're making a TikTok house. That's literally exactly what they're doing. It's hilarious. They're trying to become Bryce Hall, whom I truly barely know who that is. But speaking of Bryce Hall, this past weekend, there was a little something. Apparently, everyone's a boxer. Everyone and their mother is a boxer these days. There was a YouTubers versus TikTokers fight. No idea what that was about or why that was occurring, because apparently everyone's jumping in. There's money to be made. Aaron Carter's fighting basketball players. No one told me that was happening. What's Aaron Carter and Lamar Odom fighting for? Could you think of that couldn't be the most random pairing of combatants ever heard. That's the weirdest fight that's ever happened. But the weirdest part about all this is that people like my girlfriend couldn't give a shit about boxing. She's all of a sudden watching fights all the time now. The other night she sends me a Snapchat, she's hanging out with a couple of her girlfriends. They're watching this TikToker YouTuber fight. They're watching a boxing match. What? So, I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, it is ridiculous. It is absurd. But, what if we get a hilarious amount of boxing fans? What if my girlfriend just becomes a huge boxing fan? I'm sure that's not the case. I'm sure they're just into it because they want to see these people that they see on social media all the time and people they're, seeing on these videos and whatnot. But very odd times we're living in. What a hilarious time to be alive, folks, isn't it? You just got to shake your head and laugh, because it really is. It's fucking so funny to me. Speaking about funny times to be alive, because at the moment I'm all over the place. I know I am, but saw this, I was reading this thing the other day. And it actually blew my mind. I've actually thought about it basically every day since I saw it. And it was a couple days ago. I can't stop thinking about it because it truly just, when I'm bored now, I just think about this. So apparently, and again, I've done I'm pretty sure this might have even been a TikTok where I've got this information. So you know it's good. But this has got to be true. And when you think about it, it'll kind of put your mind in an absolute blender, kind of like this podcast does. But the human being has been developed and I'm not talking about cavemen or whatever monkey we developed from and turned into the human beings that we are now. It's apparently been 300,000 years, they figure, that we have been developed and cognitive to the point we are today. Not much evolution has happened to the human being in the last 300,000 years. And through that time, we've existed on this planet. Whether that be, coexisted, whatever you want to call that. If we've commingled, we've fought, we've bled, we've killed one another, to countless degrees that we have, there's, who knows, the carnage that we've created and casted upon one another. I'm sure to agree we have an idea, but roughly 6,500 years ago is when they think that the first ever language and styles of writing, literature, maybe some simple forms of art were ever starting to take shape. So 6,500 years ago is about 2% of 300,000. So that means for So basically, so 6,500 years ago, that's basically the beginning of written history. That's the beginning of what we know to be somewhat what we think has happened back there. That's when stuff started getting kind of like recorded. Some things started getting jotted down. Some people started throwing paint up at a cave wall, and we came back 30,000 years later with freezies on a hike, and we all looked at it. That's when it started getting going. So that's 2% of 300,000. So that means 98% of our existence as human beings is completely undocumented and is completely unknown. We have no fucking clue what happened. We have no clue what happened in that time. Could you imagine what's gone down? And we like remember, I used to always laugh and say, like, remember when we used to watch AFE? You know, you didn't go on YouTube and just watch, you didn't go on TikTok late at night and scroll through and watch stupid funny videos. You used to watch AFE. And I used to always say to myself, could you imagine all the funny shit that would act? Like, I used to always be blown away that all this stuff could have been caught on camera. Like, I used to always be so blown away that all this funny stuff had happened to people with a camera in their hand. And I used to always get me thinking, like, imagine how much crazy stuff has happened that hasn't been on camera. Like, what if every single thing we could go back and replay? Like, there'd be some crazy shit that we could put our eyes on. Could you imagine what's gone on in that 98% of the existence of this earth of human beings that we have no clue what happened? Crazy. Crazy to think about. Anyways, that's a fun little thing for me to think about. But enough of that. I don't want to get too carried away. Folks, this is a very... I'm not going to lie to you. This is an odd episode. I feel weird. I've had about... I think I've had 6 Bud Lights. I'm extremely tired. And what's coming out of my mouth right now is the truth. And you know it. And that's why you listen. Huge, huge announcement, folks. So pay attention. It will be, I believe, July 3rd. I'll be taking the show westward for a westbound journalistic trip. The only reason I'm going back to my hometown of Calgary, Alberta, is to bring the microphone. I'm not going to talk to a single one of my friends. I'll briefly give a head nod, maybe a fist bump to the family, and then it's all journalism while I'm down there. There will be, I might not even sleep. I'm going to be on the case. No, but I'm going to be excited to go back, see the family, get back, stampede, get a little stampede into me. Get a little crazy, get my boots on again. I leave my cowboy boots in Calgary because I leave that side of me there. Because a lot of people, when I put those boots on, yeah, they're made for walking, but I become a little bit kind of a different kind of a man, you know what I mean? No, but it's going to be good. I've saved up a lot of money over this pandemic by not going out. So what I'm going to do with that money is I'm going to spend it on $9.25 regular Bud Light cans at a premium price at a Stampede venue while I let people sweat upon me in the masses in the middle of a global pandemic. It's going to be great. I'm really excited to go back to Calgary. I haven't been back since last August. Didn't even get to go home for Christmas this year, if you can believe it. Crazy. So it's going to be unreal. Get back there. I love Calgary. So really looking forward to it. And you better believe there will be a Calgarian episode recorded while I'm out there. So I will probably be in Timmins pretty well right until that flight, July 3rd. So there's not going to be a lot of discrepancy between the northern episodes and the western episodes. Is discrepancy the right word? Probably not. But I'm really excited. So we're going to get back out there. I'm going to hopefully grab an interview or two. And we're going to get after it hard. And I think that me going out to Calgary will actually be very beneficial because currently I am in a huge pickle, a personal pickle, we'll call it, because I really don't know what to do almost, I'll be honest. I'm from Calgary. The plan has always been to go back to Calgary at some point in time. And this pandemic kind of put a little bit of a pause on that plan. I was always going to graduate from university and head back out home and do that kind of a thing. I was going to bring the girlfriend out with me, and that was always what we kind of planned on doing. But with the pandemic, you know, it was kind of a tough time to move, so we ended up going down to Stratford, where she's from, and we've been camping out down there in Ontario for the last year. You know, I went down and played some hockey, and, you know, I'm back, but, you know, I've been in Ontario this whole time, and I've always said I'm going to move back. And I honestly, these days, I don't know what to think, people, because the surging prices of homes, I mean, the expense that comes with living in a city right now, I don't think I can afford it. And I mean, I feel like if I move to a smaller place, like, you know, the reality of me being able to buy a house is that much it's more realistic. It could be more attainable a lot quicker. And I mean, there's you might not make as much money in some of these places that are a little smaller, but that also comes with the absolute lower prices and pretty much everything. So I mean, I say that I'll probably go to Calgary and just love it like I always do and just want to go home. So we'll see. But I've been really considering these last couple weeks, like, not moving back to Calgary. And that sounds horrific to even say out loud, but I've even like toggled the thought of maybe going back to like Miramichi, New Brunswick, something like that, you know, something small. Fuck, live up in Timmins or something crazy, man. Like, man, people up here in Timmins, like, everyone's got a cottage, everyone's got a nice house, everyone's got a sweet truck, because everyone's got a good job. And I mean, houses aren't $1.2 million. Everything's not, I mean, just arm and a leg to do anything. And I mean, I've really been debating and pondering about like what to do. And it just sucks that Canada is so big. Canada is so, so big. I've said this on multiple episodes. For those of you who are not, you know, Canadians, I'm sorry that I keep touching on this, but it's just so hard. I mean, and I kind of come from a unique situation. And I've always wondered this too with other people, like, how many people actually leave their hometown? I'd love to see a percentage of that. Like, how many people are born in a hometown and don't settle in the town they're born in? Is it different in Canada? I bet you a percentage of Canadians, there's a strong percentage of people that are staying in the town in their birth cities and they don't leave. That's very common. And I mean, I've been very fortunate to move around a bit and live in different places, but I've always thought I was going to end up back in my hometown. And unfortunately, the way the prices are and everything right now, I really don't know. But guarantee you this, the project is at the top of my priorities, okay? So wherever I go, this show's fucking coming, and we're basically going to travel the world, okay? This show will take over the world. I should be up near like 52 episodes almost, but I've had a couple weeks where, you know, we let things go a little astray, okay? And again, I want to reiterate the fact, I don't make a fucking penny from doing this. I've never reached out to a single person to advertise, probably because it wouldn't be worth their time. But you know what I mean? Like, I do this because I like doing it, okay? I don't make a ton of money doing this. I'm not in here telling you what to think. I just have a good time. We like to fuck around. That's what we do, okay? We're going to get some cool guests on. It's not going to be for the next couple weeks. But I don't have Wi-Fi, okay? Give me a fucking break. But I'll leave you with this. You know, I'm not going to go too long. I got to go to bed. It's after 12 now. I got to finish a roof tomorrow. I'm gonna leave you with this little thing of information. I got in a huge argument with a guy the other day about this, the Weather Network, which also, if you're a weatherman, please DM me. I want to just like look into your line of work and like see what that really entails. Or like, is it the weatherman's fault? Is it the technology that we're trusting? Because it's gotta be addressed. What's going on? The weather couldn't be more opposite. Like, I try not to look at the Weather Network anymore because it just makes me want to just punch myself right in the face because it couldn't be more wrong all the time. But the argument I got into with a guy the other day is when you look at the radar, and this doesn't just go for the Weather Network, basically any weather app, period, is when you see the radar and it's telling you that, you know, the clouds are coming, it's telling you when it's going to rain, usually it shows like green, like a light green, it gets a little darker. When you get that yellow on the screen, like that's, in my eyes, means like really heavy. And then when it gets red, that kind of means like maybe getting like real crazy rain. And then anything like a purple, like goes that direction, like it starts to get into snow, you know what I mean? But does green actually mean just cloud coverage? Like make that green cloud means like a light rain? Because I've gotten this argument so many times because the amount of times I'm staring at the weather app and then you look up and it's telling you that like everywhere around you is just green. And it's telling you that it's supposed to be pissing rain at the moment. I'm like, I'm starting to think that you look at the radar Does the green mean cloud? Or does the green mean that there could be a chance of a little precipitation in there? Because what's going on with the color code here, Weather Network? Someone get in contact with me and help me figure this out. My listeners are probably wondering the same. All 36 of them. Okay? Get back to me. Folks, this is episode 40. That's all I have for you. That's all I can provide. And, I mean, I kind of fibbed. I did pretty good. There was no editing on this show at all. But I had to press pause 3 times in this show in 35 minutes because I had to fact check myself and make sure that what I was saying wasn't absolutely foolish. And by fact checked, I meant I lightly Googled something and I read the first headline that came in the search bar because that's what we call investigation in the 2020s. Okay? That's what we do. We read headlines. We do no further research. And half the time, if it's on TikTok, we're going to take it as evidence. Folks, this is episode 40. This is Hopsy Baby Boy, and I'm signing off because I have to go to bed because I work tomorrow. Okay? I love you. I love you all. Good night. Sleep tight. Don't let the bugs bite.